بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, all praise and thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has allowed us to witness the pinnacle, the climax, the business end of the month of Ramadan. The hadith of Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had divided the month of Ramadan into three distinct portions. أوله رحمة, the first 10 days of the rahmat, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأُوسَتُهُ مَغْفِرَةً, the middle 10 days of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَآخِرُهُ عِتْقٌ مِّنَ النَّارِ, and the last 10 days which we are currently going through, the days where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prepared to free and emancipate millions and millions of people from the fire of Jahannam. What ulama explain is a period of amnesty, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prepared to stretch out his hand of forgiveness, of rahmat, of mercy, of barakat and blessings to us. As our Hazrat says, Damud barakatuhu, Allah is willing to give, but who is there to take? That we have come, especially those who have come for i'tikaf, those who are attending the programs. As Hazrat mentioned yesterday also, it is not just that we have come to spend time in the masjid or spend time in the company of the pious. Of course, that will have a very great benefit on us. But I have come to learn to become how Allah wants me to become, to bring deen in totality into my life. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dkhulu fi silmi kaffa, that O people of iman, what Hazrat says is a royal address. Allah is addressing those fortunate souls who have belief, who have iman, that now listen to the instruction, listen to the command, to the advice, enter into Islam completely in totality. And for this, ulama explained that there are five branches of deen that a person has to bring within his life in order for him to enter into Islam completely. One is, we find with regard to our aqaid, our belief system, our belief in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the malaika, jannat, jahannam, barzakh, akhirat. What is my belief system? Is it in accordance to that which Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam had taught? Then we have our ibadat, our aspects of worship, our salah, zakat, hajj, which many a time, despite us doing it on a daily basis, we find people faltering. At times my salah is not correct, my zakat is not being discharged correctly, etc. And then we have our mu'amalat, our business dealings, when it comes to our transactions and the deals that we engage in, the business deals that take place on a daily basis, is this in accordance to sharia, to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Fourthly, we have our mu'asharat, our social dealings and interactions. When it comes to my relationships with people, my family, my children, my parents, neighbors. And lastly, our akhlaq, our character, our conduct, our etiquette, how we conduct ourselves with people. These five branches of deen, which inshallah over the course of the day and the next 10 days will be discussed in detail in the various different programs. And this is our intention, our niyat, that at the end of this i'tikaf, at the end of the month of Ramadan, these five branches of deen must be found within my life in totality. That now I become as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to become, and this will become pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, in this session we will be discussing from this kitab, which is titled Islahul Aqaid, Correction of Beliefs, which has been prepared on the instruction of our beloved Dada Sheikh Hazrat Muhammad Abdul Hamid Sahib, Damat Barakatuhu. And the importance for a person to have the correct aqidah, the correct belief system, we find in today's time, my dear brothers, when there are so many different ideologies, isms. Hazrat says that in the past 20 or 30 years ago, we were making dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protect the a'mal and the taqwa of the ummah. That Allah must keep our a'mal on track. Now the dua is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protect our aqidah and our belief system. And we find so many different ideologies that are being pushed in the media and in different forums that are completely stripping the belief system away from a person of iman. What does a person believe in regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regarding Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, regarding the Quran Sharif being the kalam of Allah? So one is for a person to familiarize ourselves with these beliefs, with these aqaid, which have been taught to us by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and together with that for us to understand to an extent the rationale, the wisdom, the proofs behind these different beliefs. Ulama explained very clearly that when it comes to our fundamental beliefs regarding the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regarding the oneness of Allah, then this or these beliefs are all appealing to logic. To this extent, it is mentioned in the books of Aqidah that if there is an individual who has not come into contact with any message of Islam, we have in different parts of the world uncontacted tribes, they're uncivilized, they have never met the modern and the progressive world, they have never heard of Islam, of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, of the Quran Sharif, then to ulama explain it is absolutely necessary and imperative for these people also to believe in one sole creator. Because this is something which a person's logic and mind will lead him to. That a person understands there is only one deity, one creator, one being who is in control of the skies and the earth. So here we will discuss inshallah regarding the aqaid of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We have heard this term before, Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that we subscribe to the beliefs of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And very simply, what does this refer to? That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on one occasion had mentioned that the Bani Israel, the people of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, were divided into 72 groups and sects. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَسَتَّفْتَرِقُ أُمَّتِي, my ummah will then be divided into 73 groups, كُلُّهُمْ فِي النَّارِ, every single one of these groups will be in the fire of Jahannam, except for one group. 72 groups from the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, those who claim to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and 72 from those 73 will be in the fire of Jahannam. Except for one group, what is known as Al-Firqatun Najiyah. That group who will be saved, who will gain salvation on the day of Qiyamah. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went on to explain, Ma ana alayhi wa ashabi, that which I am upon and my sahaba radiyallahu anhum. So ulama say we get this term, Ahlus Sunnah, that we are the ahl, we are the people, we are the followers of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wal jama'ah, and the jama'at, the group of sahaba radiyallahu anhum. That we are those who will fall under the banner of ahlu sunnah wal jama'ah, of al-firqatun najiyah, that group who will be saved on the day of qiyamah. And here ulama explained by means of an example, when it comes to these different groups and sects of iman, that you have a property or a house, there is a structure, and then we have the yard or the garden around that structure. And then we have the road, where there's a fence, and thereafter the road. So one is those individuals who are sitting outside the fence, who are on the street, on the road. They are outside of the garden or of the house, the property of Islam. They have no belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The disbelief them, we know, khalidan mukhalladan fi jahannam. They will be forever and ever in the fire of Jahannam. And then secondly, we have that group who comes within the boundary of this property. They are within the yard or within the garden. They have entered into the fold of Islam. But when it comes to their secondary beliefs, then this at times is in conflict with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Although they are found within the property, within the boundary of Islam, but this group also is not 100% safe. They will also have to go via the fire of Jahannam. We know in this world, Hazrat gives the example, a person doesn't want to travel the via route. A person is going for Umrah, for Hajj, for holiday. One is that person who has to stop over two or three times in some foreign country. He doesn't have the currency. The airport is uncomfortable. Food is hard to come by. He doesn't have anybody there that he can call on for assistance. It becomes a very tiresome, very lengthy journey for him. And one is that person who is fortunate to get onto the plane. He closes his eyes. He has a good rest and his eyes open at his destination. He goes via the direct flight. So on the day of Qiyamah also ulama explained there will be these two groups of iman, of mu'mineen. One will be those who will have to go via the fire of Jahannam. Allah protect us. And the other is that group who will be fortunate to secure their direct ticket to Jannah. Those who will fall under the banner of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, their belief system will be correct. Their iman, their a'mal will be correct. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will honor them with direct entry into Jannah. So with regard to our aqaid and our beliefs, Hazrat explains in the introduction that one has to understand what the beliefs of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah are. Their beliefs are those which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught to the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, and all of them remain steadfast on these beliefs without any difference. Later people introduced new beliefs and divided into many factions and groups. Nevertheless, the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah remained staunch on the beliefs of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum and did not devise their own belief structure. These are the same beliefs found in the Quran and Ahadith. What we would say, the third group who is now found within the boundary or within the property within the structure on that particular property. The Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that group which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says will be the group of salvation. The first section is regarding beliefs regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here ulama explain that generally there are three discussions when we speak about our aqidah, our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is, of course, the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah is wajibul wujud. Allah is that being who is in existence. Allah's non-existence is impossible. And Allah existed from eternity, will exist till eternity. This is generally something that our minds cannot fathom. We cannot wrap our minds around Allah existing before time and existing after time. But very simple for us to understand, Allah is the creator of these things. Allah is the creator of time, the creator of space. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's existence is compulsory. Allah was always there, Allah is there, Allah will always be there. And regarding the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a beautiful example is given that a group of atheists once had come to Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, the great Imam of Fiqh, and he was also a great Imam of Aqidah and belief as well, with the intention of killing him. The Imam asked them, what would they say about a person who claims that he sees a ship laden with goods sailing on the sea, and it takes goods from one end to the other. The ship navigates the waves perfectly, and there is no sailor to steer the ship. The goods get loaded on and off the ship by itself. So they replied that it is such a nonsensical contention that no sane human would accept it, that the ship now is moving on its own. It is being, the goods are loaded, offloaded on its own. It navigates the oceans and finds itself to its destination without any person controlling it, that no person can accept something like this. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah then said to them, that pity on your intelligence. If a ship cannot sail and operate without a sailor, then how can this entire universe operate without an operator? Upon hearing this, all of them were embarrassed. They repented and accepted Islam at the Imam's hands. Now this is the logical proof of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, Imam Malik rahimahullah has mentioned that a person looks at his own creation. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. In the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that look at your own creation. How Allah has fashioned you. Hazrat explains, a young child, if we see that small child, either our own child, our grandchild, nephew, niece, how cute and beautiful the child is looking. The parent or the grandparent says, I want to eat up this child. But how often do we think to ourselves that this is the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How Allah fashioned this child, the soft fingers, and the eyes, the nose, the hands, the scent of that child, how the child smiles. All of this are the dalail and the proofs of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, in all the things around us, they say, وَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ آيَةٌ تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ وَاحِدٌ. In everything around us, there is a sign and a proof indicating to the existence and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one is for a person to believe, as we had mentioned earlier, one is for a person to have this belief. And here a very important point is that in the past, if our parents, our grandparents, or perhaps the Apa or the Moli Saab mentioned that you have to believe in one Allah, the existence of Allah, you believe in Jannat and Jahannam, then we accepted this without any question. A person didn't think too much about it. He believed it. He didn't question it. He had no doubts about it. And even if he had some doubt, he would go to the Apa, to the Alim, and like this, his doubt would be removed. In today's time, my dear brothers, especially when it comes to our children, our youth, now they are questioning. The thought is coming to mind, and the avenue to find out the truth, or rather to get the answer, is no longer to come to the masjid, or to come to the Apa or the Alim. Now they will search the internet, and they will come across the incorrect websites, and the incorrect beliefs, and the incorrect people who will take them away from the straight path, away from what is correct and what is haqq. So it is absolutely important not only that we believe in this, but that we understand the logical proof behind it as well, to strengthen and to make our iman firm. Of course, we believe wholeheartedly whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had taught to us, whatever we find in the Quran Kareem, but with this, to strengthen our iman so that our belief and our faith is not shaken, for us to understand these logical proofs behind the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the second discussion regarding the beliefs regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is regarding tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is alone, He has no partner, He has no equal, He has no being that is on par with Him, In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very beautifully gives an example, ضَرَبَ لَكُمْ مَثَلًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ, that Allah has given a parable, an example to you in your own lives regarding the foolishness of shirk, of there being multiple deities. هَلْ لَكُمْ مِمَّا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ مِّنْ شُرَكَاءَ فِي مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. Allah says a person has a business. He is the sole owner of the business. He started it up. He grew that business. It's now turning a profit. He is not answerable to anyone. And now a person has employees or workers under his employ. So which sane person, which intelligent person will take his employee, his worker, and say, I am giving you 50% share in my business, that now you will be my partner. I am answerable to you as you are answerable to me. فَأَنْتُمْ فِيهِ سَوَاءٌ تَخَافُونَهُمْ كَخِيفَتِكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ, that now I have to ask you before I make any decisions. At home we have a woman, folk have the domestics working for them. And now she has to say to her, that listen, I am making you in charge. You will have to tell me what to cook, what to clean, when to change the linen, when to change the towels. So no intelligent person does this. I am in control and this person is subservient to me. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of everything, the creator of every entity, every being, every insan, every jinnat, every angel, how is it now possible that I will make them my partners? We find the mushrikeen of Makkah Mukarramah believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. If you have to ask them, O Nabi of Allah, who created the skies and the earth, then without any hesitation, they will say, Allah is the creator. But with this, they then said that Allah appointed His creation and those special slaves or servants of His, and He elevated them onto His pedestal, and therefore we have to worship them with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is completely illogical, it makes no sense. No intelligent person believes in something like this. Allah is wahid, Allah is alone, Allah has no partner, Allah is unique with regard to His being, with regard to His sifat and attributes, with regard to His af'al and actions. There is no being that can compare to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La mithla lahu, la mithala lahu, la nadhira lahu. No being can ever come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To this extent in Surah Al-Isra, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, that Allah had taken him on the journey of Isra from Makkah Mukarramah to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, then Allah calls Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, abdihi, his slave and his servant. Mufassirin explain one of the wisdoms behind this is that Allah is showing us that there is a clear distinction between Allah and His creation. That notwithstanding the great maqam and status of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and we know how lofty the position and the status of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is, but there is a clear line between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the creator and every single creation of His is subservient to Him. So the second discussion is regarding Tawheed. And the third discussion regarding the beliefs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with regard to His sifat, His attributes, regarding His attribute of ilm, of knowledge, that Allah's knowledge was, is, and will always be complete. Allah does not increase in knowledge. He had knowledge of everything that was in existence and that will be in existence till the day of Qiyamah. Some misguided groups were of the opinion that as things occur in this world, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to know of it. But the belief system of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that even before creating the creation, before insan existed, before this world existed, Allah had complete knowledge and ilm regarding every single thing that will take place, regarding the life of every person, the sustenance, the actions, the outcome of every single person, every animal, every leaf, the fish in the sea, the insects. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ilm and knowledge is tam and complete. Likewise, every single sifat, every single attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect, is complete. Ulama explain that at times we borrow the name of the attribute of Allah. Allah is Sami', Allah has the attribute of hearing. Likewise, we also are able to hear. Allah is Basir, Allah can see. We also have the ability to see. But in reality, this also is injustice. That we are just borrowing the name, but where can our attribute ever compare to the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah is beyond comparison. So these are the few aqaid and beliefs regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, there is much more and more detail. But just this much, inshallah, for us to bear in mind, that we now go back, these kitabs are available also, for us to go and read and familiarize ourselves, especially with regard to our beliefs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, In today's time when the attack is on, my dear brothers, and especially our youth, we find how many a times these misconceptions, misgivings, these doubts come into their mind. At times we may think this is very far, that it might be some other person, some other family. But there are so many reports, ask the ulama kiram, so many reports of good Muslim homes. Sometimes it's a Hafizul Quran. Sometimes it's the son of an alim. Sometimes it's a home in which the father is in the first saf in the masjid. A home wherein ta'lim is taking place, wherein the programs of deen are taking place. But because an effort is not made to educate ourselves correctly, to bring these different branches and dimensions of deen into our life, these misgivings and doubts begin to come into the hearts and the mind of our youth. Allah protect us. Allah keep us on the correct aqidah, the correct beliefs, inshallah. Inshallah, over the next few days, we will attempt to cover a few more sections. But as we had mentioned, this is just a small introduction. The onus is now on us, my dear brothers, to go back, to consult with the ulama-i kiram, to read the literature that is available, and to familiarize ourselves with our belief system, inshallah. Inshallah, now we will commence with a recitation of Surah Yasin, individually, inshallah, before continuing with the rest of the program. Regarding the virtue of Surah Yasin, the hadith of Ma'qil bin Yasar, radiyallahu anhu, that person who has desire for the akhirat, his gaze is on the akhirat, and he reads Surah Yasin, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all of his sins. What a great bargain this is. Surah Yasin takes 5-10 minutes maximum, even for a non-hafiz. It is so easy for a person to recite. Hazrat explains, even if we don't take time out, a person very easily, and this is the benefit of sitting in the company of the pious, is we learn very easily how to fulfill our obligations to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person is driving to the masjid for Fajr Salah, going back home. In that time, very quickly and easily, he can complete recitation of Surah Yasin. So what a great benefit Allah is prepared to forgive our sins. And in the hadith of Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhumah, that person who will read Surah Yasin in the morning, then all of his tasks and duties for the day, Allah will make easy for him. That person who will read Surah Yasin in the evening, likewise all of his obligations, his duties, his tasks for the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of this for him. We'll recite Surah Yasin now, inshallah. Brothers can recite from this green kitab du'as for the contentment of the heart, and thereafter inshallah we will recite the morning du'as from the same kitab. The kitabs are available on the shelves on the right and the left hand side, inshallah. So we can take these kitabs and recite from there.
Brothers, we are encouraged in the house of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. We can avoid using our cell phones in the masjid, inshallah. Plenty of Quran Sharifs, green kitabs. So last resort, we can use our phones with traveling, etc. Because we know we can messages coming, pop-ups that are coming. There's a great barakat in holding the Quran Sharif, kissing it, putting it to the chest. So Umar radiallahu anhu used to kiss the Quran Sharif, put it on his head also. So let us try and use our mushaf in the masjid, inshallah. Jazakallah khair.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The morning and evening du'as in this kitab, page 121. Other copies may be different. These are du'as, or as we call them, wazifas, wazaif, which have been prescribed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, derived from various different ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. And as we will go through them, we will see, inshallah, the great benefits and the great protection and reward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in these simple prescriptions. Hazrat explains how happy a person becomes. I take my child to the masjid and the alim or the sheikh or the buzruk makes dua for him. Or a person has some worry, some concern in his life. He goes to the alim or some buzruk and he gives him some special prescription. That recite this and Allah will take care of all your worries, all your needs. How happy a person becomes, how much yaqeen and trust he has on this. These are prescriptions given by none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. When a person will learn the benefits and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept behind each and every one of these prescriptions, then we find it will become impossible for my morning to pass without reading these du'as, for my evening to pass without reading these du'as. And more than just reading them, but a person will now enjoy doing it. And the main benefit ulama explain is that this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That the intention is I'm fulfilling the command of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. The first dua for protection against all evil, or the first prescription. Hazrat Abdullah bin Khubayb radiallahu anhu narrates that on a dark, gloomy, rainy night, we came out in search of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we finally found him, he said to us, read. We asked, what must we read? He replied, recite, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, these surahs, three times morning and evening. It will suffice for you against all things. يَكْفِيكَ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Mulla Ali Qari rahimahullah, a commentator of hadith, mentions that يَكْفِيكَ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, that person who, for some reason or the other, perhaps he was traveling, he's unwell, or he didn't find the time to complete all his other wazaif and his normal ma'amulat for the morning, and he sufficed upon these three quls three times each, then inshallah yakfika, it will suffice him for all those other ma'amulat and practices. Or yakfika min kulli shar, that these three surahs recited three times each will be sufficient protection for a person from all evil. Here he mentions the evil of witchcraft, black magic, mischief of jinn, etc. So for a person to recite this, we'll recite it together inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. Number two, the elimination of grief of both the worlds. As Abu Darda radiallahu anhu narrates, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, whoever recites seven times morning and evening the following dua, Allah ta'ala will suffice for him by removing his grief of this world and the hereafter. حَسْبِي اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَهُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ حَسْبِي اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَهُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ حَسْبِي اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. As in Maqil bin Yasar radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever recites three times in the morning is following dua, and thereafter the last three ayat of Suratul Hashr once, 70,000 angels are appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who seek forgiveness on his behalf till the evening. One of our akabir, rahimahumullah, used to say that I don't allow the morning to pass until I don't depute 70,000 angels to make dua for me. So here 70,000 angels making dua, a maghfirat, asking istighfar on our behalf. And should he die during the day, he will die as a shaheed. Whoever recites above dua in the evening will enjoy the same virtue till the morning. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة. هو الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر. سبحان الله عما يشركون. هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى. يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. We'll just read a few more inshallah and then continue the rest tomorrow. Protection against leprosy, blindness, madness and paralysis. Recite three times morning and evening. Subhanallah al-azim, subhanallah al-azim wa bihamdih, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Subhanallah al-azim wa bihamdih, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Subhanallah al-azim wa bihamdih, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Protection of one's deen, life, family and wealth. Hazrat Maqil bin Yasar radiyallahu anhu narrates that once I expressed my fears to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over five things in my life. I feared that I would be misled or deviated from the Siratul Mustaqim. The second was regarding my life. I feared harm or illness would befall me. The third was about my children, that they would suffer deeni or worldly harm. My fourth concern was my wife, that she too may suffer physical or spiritual harm. And the fifth fear I had was over my wealth, should there occur a loss of income or property. We can see these five fears, my dear brothers, which person doesn't have it in his life and his heart. These are the worries and concerns that keep us awake at night. After listening to my fears, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught me the following dua to be recited three times morning and evening. Bismillahi ala deeni wa nafsi wa waladi wa ahli wa mali. Bismillahi ala deeni wa nafsi wa waladi wa ahli wa mali. Bismillahi ala deeni wa nafsi wa waladi wa ahli wa mali. Protection against all harm. Hazrat Aban bin Uthman radiyallahu anhu narrates that he heard his father saying that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, whoever recites the following dua three times in the morning and evening will not be harmed by anything. Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma'asmihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama' wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim. This dua also, my dear brothers, for us to get the pronunciation correct. Many a times people pronounce it incorrectly by saying ma'a ismihi. Correct pronunciation as we are reading it. Bismillah alladhi لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم. Inshallah, there are many more du'as, but for us, we can recite them on our own, inshallah, and then we'll do the explanation tomorrow. But these du'as that we have read today, my dear brothers, for us to go back in these 10 days, for us to read them with the intention that we make this our daily habit, inshallah, not just in the month of Ramadan while we are here, but for the rest of our lives, wherever a person may be, whether he's traveling, he's at home, with our families, that we recite these du'as for protection, for forgiveness, and then see the benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give to us, inshallah. We make zikr and du'a, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. فاذكروني أذكركم، أنا جليس من ذكرني. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. لا إله إلا الله، 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 La ilaha illallah. 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 Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La ilaha illallah. 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 Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah jalla jalaluhu wa ta'ala sha'nuhu. Allah, 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 Jalla Jalaluhu. Allah, 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 Jalla Jalaluhu. الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك اللهم لك الحمد حمدا دائما مع دوامك ولك الحمد حمدا خالدا مع خلودك ولك الحمد حمدا لا منتهى له دون مشيئتك ولك الحمد حمدا لا يريد قائله إلا رضاك ولك الحمد حمدا عند كل طرفة عين وتنفس كل نفس اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان وجعلنا هداة مهتدين غير ضالين ولا مضلين اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان وجعلنا من الراشدين ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم اجعلنا من عتقاء شهر رمضان اللهم اجعلنا من عتقاء شهر رمضان اللهم اجعلنا من عتقاء شهر رمضان، اللهم أجرنا من النار، اللهم أجرنا من النار، اللهم أجرنا من النار. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. يا ربي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. اللهم اغفر لأمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، اللهم أصلح أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، اللهم تجاوز عن أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر المجاهدين في فلسطين وفي كل مكان يا رب العالمين. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. آمين.